Hi there. Thanks for joining us as we unpack the series titled, This Is That. Have you ever wondered about the Holy Spirit? Well, this sermon is for you. Pastor Carl and Pastor Henry share an amazing word about the Holy Spirit, the person, the presence, and the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's dive in and gear up for Pentecost Sunday.
Happy birthday to you. We're in a series called This Is That because we wanted to lead up to Pentecost. We're going to talk about more of the Holy Ghost next week. The week after that, we actually have a fellow named Mark Griffin. Mark Griffin's here. He's a strong prophetic guy, good friend of ours. He's going to be ministering with us. Then the week after that, I'm going to preach on joy. Joy, joy, joy. I'm excited just thinking about it. You know what I mean? Hey, but boy, we're going to have some good weeks. But today I want to talk about Pentecost, the historical Pentecost, because this is that. That's what Peter said. Acts chapter 2:16. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. New Living Translation. No, what you see was predicted long ago. Everybody say see. What you see. What you see. You know, when there's a service and if we're a Pentecostal people, you should see stuff. Stuff should happen. You should see stuff. It's not just a talk. It's show and tell. There should be a show. There should be a demonstration of the Spirit's power. Can I get an amen? We don't want to just come here a history lesson. We want to see the hand of God moving on people's hearts and lives. So they saw something. When the church was born, something happened. There was a whole whack of people came bouncing out of the upper room, and they were fully intoxicated. And, I mean, God was moving. So Pentecost, the word Pentecost, it's a compound word, 5 and 0. 5 and 0, you put 5 and 0 together, you have 50. That's what Pentecost means. Pentecost means it's the feast of 50. 50. What is it? It's 50 days after Passover. Exactly 50 days after Passover. Not 49, not 47, not 35, not 58, not 59, but 50. Exactly on 50 days after Passover, the Holy Spirit was going to come. It was the fullness of time. Didn't matter how much they begged or pleaded. Didn't matter what they were doing. Didn't matter how, come Holy Ghost, come Holy Ghost. He was coming on 50 because that was the way it had been preordained by God. That boom, in that moment, 50. The Holy Spirit came. So the Holy Spirit came on this day. Three major feasts in the Jewish calendar. Passover, they're delivered from Egypt the first month. Pentecost, the giving of the law. Pentecost was the giving of the law. That's when Moses got the Ten Commandments. And they would come back and celebrate every year the giving of the law. Thank God for the law. Let's celebrate the law. Thou shalt not, thou shalt not. Oh, thank you for all these rules to obey. Thank you for the rules, rule-making God. That was Passover. Oh, sorry, that was Pentecost. The last feast, the large feast, is Tabernacles, and that's yet to be fulfilled. The others were all fulfilled in a day. The last one, harvest, is not yet fulfilled. And the last thing to be fulfilled before Jesus comes is going to be a harvest. God is going to bring a multitude of sons and daughters all over the world, every tongue, every tribe, every group of people. They're going to experience revival of the glory of God. And that's the final feast waiting to be manifest. And God's not going to bypass that. God's not going to, oh, well, no big harvest at the end, sorry. No, he's specific about his timetable. And there is going to be a massive harvest of souls in these last days. Can I get an amen from the front row? Hey! And I tell you, I believe that's pressing in right now in a big, big way. Passover, Jesus provided his righteousness. Pentecost, the Spirit enabled us to manifest righteousness. The harvest is going to come when Jesus returns to gather the righteous. So the very day that they're there, Jews from all around the world are in Jerusalem, reaffirming their commitment to the law of Moses. On that very day, when they're there celebrating the law of Moses, that is the day the Holy Spirit fell upon a group of people in an upper room, and the gospel, the promise of new life to all who believe in Jesus, was fully instituted and established with the birth of the church, with a body of people who were empowered with a message to transform the world. So the law is skin deep. I'm telling you, the law cannot change you. All the law can do is expose to you that you got problems. Every time you look at the law, oh, yeah, look at that. Oh, I'm such a failure. The law is there to show you that you need help. The law is there to show you that you can't do it on your own. But thank God for the gospel. Thank God for Jesus coming. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. Because now what I could not do, I can do. And God does in and through me by the power of the Spirit of God. It's not about me doing it. Jesus did it, and now he's given me the Holy Spirit so that I can walk out and manifest all these things by the power of the Spirit. Not by the power of my obedience, but by the power of the Spirit that is in me. It's not by might. It's not by power. It's by the Spirit of God. And it's his Spirit manifesting in me life, radical changing transformation. Amen. Amen. It's the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. So the first Pentecost, we're going to contrast the first Pentecost with the second Pentecost. Well, the Acts 2 Pentecost. First Pentecost, here's what happened on the very first Pentecost. You ready? It was 50 days after they came out of Egypt. Exactly. Very much the same. 50 days. There was flames on the mountain. There was shaking. Yeah. Okay. So there's fire, flames, shaking mountains, winds. The law was given on tablets of stone. You were given, this is how you live. Sadly, you're still coming to churches and they're still trying to tell you, this is how you live. You know how you live? I mean, who bewitched you? You started in the spirit. Now you're continuing in the flesh. You're trying to fulfill in the flesh what only the spirit can do. You're trying to live out a life of righteousness with your own performance when it's only Christ in you can bring that into manifestation. You didn't get saved so you could obey the law. You didn't even get the Holy Spirit so you could obey the law. You got the Holy Spirit so you could have the very life of God in you, propelling you and manifesting all the goodness of God. It's not like the Holy Spirit came to make you all a bunch of really good law keepers. The Holy Spirit changed everything. The law and everything has become obsolete. It's a program that is no longer going to work on your hard drive. Boom, it's gone. You now live by the life of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit did not come to make you a better person. The Holy Spirit came to give you life. He's the Spirit of life. All right, drunken party takes place. That's what happened at the first Pentecost, the drunken party. Moses comes down the mountain with the Ten Commandments, and they're all intoxicated and drunk. And he's like, oh my goodness, got mad, and he broke the tablets. It all got messy, and 3,000 people died. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Let's look at the Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. 50 days after Passover, flames and violent wind, a tempest blast from heaven came, flames filled the place and separated onto every head. The Spirit comes, not the law, but the Spirit comes. So you don't have rules to live by. You got power of life, the life of God in you. There was a drunken party, just like the first one, but this time they're all whacked in the Holy Ghost. This time they were drunk not on wine, which leads to debauchery, but filled and flooded with the Holy Ghost. They fell out of there, and it was 9 o'clock in the morning, and they said, they are not drunk as you suppose. They are drunk. They're fully intoxicated. But it's not what you think. They ain't been drinking some strange wine. They've been drinking deeply of the wine of the vine of the Holy Ghost. And they are totally overcome by the Spirit of God. And he said, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. Listen, 3,000 people died at the first Pentecost, at the Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. Peter got up. He said, this is that. Told them all that the doors are wide open. If anybody wants in, come on in. 3,000 people entered the kingdom that day. When the law was given, 3,000 people died. When the Spirit was given, 3,000 people were made alive. Amen? I didn't come here to learn some rules to live by. I came here to be transformed by the Spirit of God so that he could walk in and through me the very life of Christ. Oh, thank you. All right, I thought I was seeing a vision that there were people here. Okay. Acts chapter 1, verse 4, and being assembled together, all of them there, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait, don't go anywhere, don't do a thing without the power of the Spirit. He commanded them to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. David Wilkerson, we got the chief executive officer at Teen Challenge attends the church here. We got the director of the farm here goes here. Several other Teen Challenge folks go here. But David Wilkerson was the founder of Teen Challenge. But David Wilkerson said this, when you are baptized in the Holy Ghost, he takes over. He takes over. All the preaching, counseling, Bible reading you can absorb will be dead to you unless you have the Holy Ghost living in you. He makes you understand and know it's God speaking. You need the Holy Ghost. You need the Holy Ghost. You got to let the Holy Ghost just take over in every aspect of your life. Isn't it amazing? The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is in you. It's a person. It's not an experience. It's a person. The third person of the Godhead lives in you. The Godhead who went, when the Word spoke, let there be light. The Godhead that made the light, he's in you. The one who spoke into chaos and said, let there be order, he's in you. And it says, we have the same Spirit of faith, therefore we speak. And when you speak with the authority of the Spirit of God, didn't you love Stephanie? Let me hear, she is. I've been born again just a little bit. Got plugged into a church for a few months, and she's standing here telling us, take authority, be intentional, stand against those things that are, this is the last day that things are not fashioned by God will have preference in your life. It's the last day that things that are not from Him will have any influence in you. This is the last day from now on. I mean, did you love that or what? Man. So you got the third person of the Godhead. He's made His home here. Where does God live? What's His address here on planet Earth? It's called Carl Thomas's belly. Come and drink of me, and out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. This is where the Spirit lives. In me, the Godhead, the fullness of the Godhead dwells in me. I am a dispenser of heavenly favor. I manifest kingdom principles and power. Everywhere I go, the government of the kingdom is in full force. I am in charge of in a big, big way. The church, the body of Christ, is the pillar and foundation of truth. We are. Boy, I wish we knew who we were. Wish we knew what we had, because wow, it's powerful. Acts chapter 2:39 said, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Say receive. See, this is not an achieve thing. This is not a strive after. This is a receiving. Just receive it. It's a gift. Receive it. You know when a gift is not a gift? It's not a gift when it's forced upon you. I force you to take this. That's not a gift. It's not a gift also if you have to earn it or you got to do something to get it. That's not a gift. When it's a gift, all you do is say, oh, thank you. Thank you. Holy Spirit has come to flood your life and transform you forever. So that just like they said about Jesus, remember they said about Jesus? He calmed the storm. They said, what kind of man is this? That's what they should be saying about you and me. What kind of man is this? I work with this guy at the office, and man, he's always, you know, praying for people, touching people, ministering to people. He's always telling us about miracles. It's just a blessing on his life. Everything he has thrives. It's amazing. What kind of man is he? He's a Holy Ghost-filled, tongue-talking believer. There's three people here today. Three people. Three. It's received the gift of the Holy Spirit for the promises to you and your children, to all who are far off. That is not a distance thing, not a far off. Everyone who hears my voice, no, it was far off in time. Throughout all history, this is established forever and ever to every generation that whoever receives the Holy Ghost is going to walk in the fullness of the promise of God. As many as the Lord will call are going to walk in this wonderful promise. It was fulfilled and it's ongoing. We see through the book of Acts, it wasn't just that first little group that was baptized. We see through the book of Acts many, many people, many instances. This is where he says, the same way the Spirit fell on us, the same way he has fallen on this group of people. So the same way that the Spirit fell at Pentecost is the same way. It's the same person of the God. It's the same way that he falls on us and enables us and empowers us. The experiences of D.L. Moody, R.A. Torrey, Charles Finney, Stephen Olford, Billy Graham, these are all people who had an experience beyond just believing, an experience beyond just being baptized in water. There's something that happened in their lives that was other than those things that transform their lives. Now, on the website, you can go click on the front page at the bottom, and you click on that, and there's the notes. And I got their testimonies are right in the notes. But let me tell you about D.L. Moody, one of my favorite preachers. Great guy. Was out of Chicago, but went all over the world preaching to people. But he's preaching one day, and there's two ladies in the front row. And while he was preaching, they were like, and he was like, it was just really upsetting them because they should be paying attention. What's the matter with them? What are they doing down there? So when the service was over, he finally says, what are you doing there? I'm preaching away and you're like muttering under your breath. What are you doing? Oh, we're praying for you. Don't pray for me. Pray for the lost people in the room. No, we're praying for you that you'd get the baptism of the Holy Ghost. We're praying for you that you would get touched by the Spirit of God because you're so effective right now. But we can imagine what would happen if the Holy Ghost was on your ministry. And he's like, what are you talking about? It was just annoying. He was annoyed by it. What are you talking about? But you know what? It never left him. It just kept bugging him till one day in New York City, he went and got a hotel room and locked him in that room. And he said, whatever this is about, I'm not leaving this room till something happens. And bang, he said, I got hit by the Spirit of God, wave after wave of the Spirit of God, until I finally had to say, oh God, stir your hand. I thought I was going to be consumed. I thought nothing would be left of me. Then he said, I went out and I preached the same sermons, did the same things, nothing in my same notes, preached the same stuff. And he says, my ministry became exponential. My ministry, 10 times the results, 10 times the people saved and coming to Jesus. My life was totally transformed. When the Spirit of God came on my ministry, it was incredible, the acceleration that happened. And that was D.L. Moody. R.A. Torrey, Charles Finney talks about how the Spirit came upon him. He says he went, he said, I'm not leaving here until, Lord, you touch me. And he had the same thing, an experience where he had to say, Lord, stay your hand. He thought he was going to be consumed. But after that, I mean, when Finney was preaching in some areas, literally trains would pull into the station and stop, and people would get off the trains. They, as they pulled near the city, they'd start to weep. They'd start to feel the move of the Spirit of God, and the train would stop, and it wasn't where they were going, but they'd get off the train anyway, and they walked off, and they'd say, where's the meeting? They're going, what meeting? There's something going on here. And they'd get them over to Charles Finney's meetings, and all these people would be transformed, touched, and converted. And it was the power of the Holy Ghost that touched his life and transformed his ministry. There was a Stephen Olford, a powerful minister, great radio orator, great guy. But Billy Graham said, Stephen Olford is the one man who had the single greatest influence in my life. And if you read about Billy Graham and Stephen Olford took Billy Graham aside one day and said, Billy, let's go. They also went to a hotel room, and he said, I'm going to pray for you. And he prayed for him, and Billy Graham said, there, I got an experience, something beyond just being a believer, something beyond being baptized in water. But I got touched with the Holy Spirit, and an experience came upon me. A zeal and a passion came upon me that transformed my life and my ministry. He says, Stephen Olford is the one man who influenced my life more than anybody else. But he's the one who got him whacked in the Holy Ghost. Ah, what would it be like to walk every day under an open heaven? What would it be like to every day just be walking with full communication with the Godhead? Every day my thoughts and his thoughts attuned. Every step, everything, every word, my conversation, everything. Just as Jesus said, I do nothing except I see what the Father's doing. What it'd be like every day if we walk through life without fear, without dread, walk with confidence, walk with zeal, walk with boldness, realizing that I'm really in charge here. I'm the hero in this story. That's why the Holy Ghost came. We're not victims. We don't come every Sunday to, how's your aches and pains? Oh, you poor thing. If God wills it, maybe you'll get touched. You know? Oh, are you still broke? Oh, praise God. Are you still struggling? Can't find a job? Oh, Jesus. Did you know that you got a line to the wonderful Heavenly Father? Did you know that you're his child? Did you know that there's no good thing that he would withhold from you? Do you know that he's the Father, the giver of gifts, the Father of lights? There's no shadow of turning. Did you know his mercy is new every morning? Do you know daily he loads you with benefits? Do you know that he wants you to drink of his river, which is just receive? Just receive. Just put a demand now on the power of God. And if you will put a demand on the power of God, out of you will flow rivers. That everywhere you go, your shadow will heal people. People will be delivered and set free because you are putting a demand on the anointing in your life, and you're not just trying to get through your own personal struggle. You're totally free, walking in the glory, dispensing favor everywhere you go. I don't got just enough for myself. I'm overcome, and I'm a massive dispenser. There are fountains and springs of life flowing out of me. What would happen if we really believed that, Pastor? What would happen? Oh, Lord, send revival. You got revival. You got the Holy Ghost in your belly. What are you waiting for? Well, we need God to move. He did move. He moved out of heaven and he moved into you. He took up residence right here. We're not hoping, God, do something. That's why sometimes our songs, I love all our songs, but sometimes we're saying, Holy Spirit, come. I mean, that'd be kind of like the Holy Spirit's ready. You know, Holy Spirit, come. Would you come, please? Would you come? I mean, he's right there. He's in you. I mean, he's right there. And we're begging somebody who already came to come. He's like, I'm here. I'm in you. Hello. Hello. You ever see those ads when they're trying to want you to sell them your life insurance policy? The guys are downstairs and they're digging and they're saying, oh, we wish we had money. We wish we had money. And they're, hey, you can sell your life insurance policy. And they don't know how rich they are. I'm like, man, that's like the church sometimes, right? We're up here pleading for God to do something and we got a mother load of provision. No, settle down. We got a mother load of provision. Hey. Seven things I want you to pay attention to. Seven things on this historical day. Seven things that happened at the day of Pentecost. Number one, they were invited. They were invited. You're invited. I invite you today. On this Pentecost, I invite you. Because this is not optional. Listen, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise. Pentecost is a command for every believer to enter into. Every believer. Are all the believers here today? Well, I'm gonna pass on the Holy Ghost. I just want to get to heaven. I just want that. And, you know, maybe if he'd throw a few blessings my way, get me through the misery. But, that Holy Ghost thing. No, it's not optional. It's not like, okay, there's three boxes. You can repent and come into the kingdom. You can get baptized in water and you can get filled in the Holy Ghost. So how many of those would you like? Well, I'll take number one and number two. You don't get to take number one and number two. All three of them are yours. In fact, if you read your Bible, the people in Acts who got born again, they had it all happen on the same day. They accepted Christ. They repented and said, I agree, God loves me. Then they got baptized in water, and then they got filled with the Holy Spirit. It wasn't like a prolonged situation. It wasn't like, well, I'm easing my way into it. No, it all happened on the same day. Same day. Why would you want to go a moment through life without all the benefits that God's given you? Why would you try to struggle through in the flesh one day of your life? Why would you want to be born again and have the devil chasing you every day and you got no power to come against him, but you got the power of the Holy Ghost on you where you can command him, take authority over him, break his power off your life and loose the glory where you're going? Well, I'll take box one and box two. Let me pray about box three. It's a command. Settle down. So, we're all invited. You're all invited. They were united on the day of Pentecost. When it fully come, boom. They were all there in one accord in one place. 10 days. On the 40th day, Jesus ascended. He said, I'm going now, but I'm going to send another one just like me. Wait for him. And then go and be my witnesses. Pour out the goodness. Disciple the nations. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. Earth, earth, earth. And they were all standing around. Well, then an angel had to show up and go, what are you doing? Well, where'd he go? He's not coming back. He's gone. You go wait for the Holy Ghost like he told you. Oh, look. He's not coming back. No, he's gone. He'll come back like later. But he's going to send you the Holy Ghost. Go where he told you. Oh, okay. There's about 700 people there that day. Only 120 people 10 days later were in the upper room. Only 120 lasted. And 10 is a type of test. 10 days later, a type of testing, the Holy Spirit came. So wait, be united in obedience to be and to embrace what God wants you to do. You're invited, and please agree with me today. I want the fullness of the Holy Ghost. Can I get an amen? I want it. It's mine. I'm invited to participate. I am here. I agree. We were ignited. They were ignited and tongues appeared like fire and it separated and rested on each and every one of them. Whenever God identified a new place of his fixed habitation, he sent fire. The fire of God came. The fire. If the Holy Ghost and the fire of God in your life is the identifying factor that God lives here. Does God live here? Touch your belly right now. Say, hello? Have you heard his voice lately? What screams at you every day? Your circumstances, my frustrations. This needs to change. This needs to change. Stop it. Just live out of the glory of God. And watch the transforming presence of God change everything in your life. Don't bicker about it, complain about it, freak out about it. Just loose the glory of God. Amen. What is it? Power. It's inherent power. Let me read it for you. Inherent power. What is it? What's residing in me, Pastor? Power is residing in a thing, virtue and nature in a person or a thing. It puts forth power for performing miracles, moral power and excellence of soul, the power and influence which belongs to riches and wealth, power and resources arising from numbers, power consisting in or resting on armies, forces, hosts. That's a definition of dunamis. You shall receive dunamis when the Holy Ghost comes upon you. You shall receive that kind of inherent power. That's what you have. That's what is in you. That's not a hope or a dream. That is what the faithful God promised to impart to you when you say, baptize me in the Holy Ghost and fire. That's it. Let me break it down for you. Power, dunamis, inherent power. What is it? It said power to produce miracles, power to produce morality, power to produce money, power to produce multiplication, power to produce movement. You got the Holy Ghost in you. That's a summary of the definition in the Bible dictionaries of what God has imparted to you when you're flooded with the person of the Holy Ghost. Hey, do you believe this? Wow, we could transform this place in a couple of days if we just believed. Well, let's go back to our mundane existence. Let's slide back out to our cars, drive home. Still hate my neighbor. God went and helped him out there 1 week. He's never helped me back out. What a dog. We go back to our silly, creepy mindset and go back to the same way we were. I command you all to be transformed in Jesus' name. All right. Number five, they were empowered. They were empowered. Acts 2 says, and they were all filled. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. The word filled is pimplime. Pimplime. It is to furnish, to fill, to accomplish, to be fulfilled. They were all saturated with power from on high. They were all empowered. They were all gifted. They began to speak with other tongues, and they began to, as the Spirit gave, say gave. It's a gift, folks. It's a gift. It's not something you got to earn. It's not something you got to clean your cup. I was in a conference once, and a guy stood up and said, yea, the Lord would say, I will not put myself in a dirty vessel. If you would cleanest thou yourself, I would come to you. He says, so clean your dirty vessels, every one of you. There's things in your life that I cannot abide. There's things in your life that I cannot take. If you would clean yourself, if you would present to me a vessel that is pure and holy, I would fill you and I would use you. Yea, thus and so, says the Lord. Then I stood up and preached after that, said, rubbish to all of that. Hallelujah. If I could have cleaned myself, I would have cleaned myself a long time ago. But thank God he cleansed me. He purified me. He set me free. It says in Revelation, God, wonderful God, Jesus himself, who cleansed me with his own blood. And he filled me with his Spirit and he crowned me to be a king and a priest. Hallelujah. It's not because I qualified myself. He qualifies you. Quit striving. Quit trying. I'll get better. I'll get better so you can use me. I'll clean my cup. You can't clean your cup. Here's the good news. Jesus did it for you. All the stuff you could not do, all the behavior you could not change, Jesus did it for you. And you just say, thank you for forgiving me, healing me, saving me, restoring me, and filling me with power from on high. Man, is that good or what? The Holy Spirit wants to testify of his presence in and through your life. The Holy Spirit wants to demonstrate the gift of the kingdom. It's his good pleasure. It's my good pleasure, little flock, to give to you the kingdom. To give to you. Oh, let's earn the kingdom. That's rubbish. That's religion. It's his good pleasure. What's your good pleasure, Lord? To give you the kingdom. What's the kingdom? It's the king, all of his influence, all of his authority, all of his power, all of his benefits. It's my pleasure to give it to you. Ha! Ha ha! Acts chapter 2, 18 to 19, I will pour my Spirit out and they shall prophesy. Say prophesy. I will pour my Spirit out and they shall prophesy, telling forth divine counsels, predicting future events pertaining especially to God's kingdom. They will prophesy and I will show. They will prophesy and I will show. You will open your mouth and you will speak the benefits of God over your life and God will show up and make it so. You will command the purposes of God to come forth in your life and he will show. You prophesy, you speak, you open your mouth, you let him fill your mouth. You speak the very divine wonders and mysteries of God and he himself will show up and he'll put the seal of his power on that situation and you'll have the power of God. But you gotta open your mouth. And you got to speak and put a demand on the blessing of God in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, you prophesy and I will show. They were rejected, says Acts chapter 2. It says, now when the noise was noised abroad, say noised abroad. I'm saying everybody showed up because it was noised abroad. All these people showed up and said, what's going on over here? Shaking fire. What's going on over here? Then all these drunken people come wandering out. It says, now they all came out and Peter stood up and he said, listen, folks, this is that. He lifted up his voice. Every one of them, you know, if we just have services and God's good in here, God's good in the church, he's good when we gather, he's good in here, it's good when we're together, it's good when he's in here. I feel good when we're in here, feel good, feel his power, feel his presence. I'm going out there, oh my God, I'm going out there, gonna be scary, gonna be... You know, if we don't get it outside the doors, If we don't loose it on everybody where we live and where we walk and where God's placed us, if we don't do that, we got a stillborn experience where we're not manifesting our purpose. But thank God that what happened in that room got out of that room. So lastly, they were ejected out of the upper room, and they went out and began to preach. There's Peter, a guy who was a little afraid of a slave girl, going, "Hey, he's one of them." A little slave girl, "He's one of them. He's a follower. I don't know him. The same guy, afraid of a slave girl, suddenly standing up saying, "This is that was spoken. You killed Jesus, but it was all in his purpose. And this is that." He's pouring out his spirit. 3,000 people came to Jesus. A few weeks earlier, he was like, run away. A few weeks later, he's bounced out of the upper room with authority and power, loosing the kingdom, opening the door for thousands to come in. Hallelujah. This is that. That's what's working in our hearts and our lives. The church was born, a body of believers. It's normal Christian life is Pentecostal. Being Pentecostal is not a denomination. It's not even an experience. It's a lifestyle. It's a destiny. It's a command of God. Stand up with me.